We're down in Louisiana, and it's been such a blessing. And I mean, for the years I was at Brooklyn Tab, it was, I mean, so many of you, how many have a long commute to work? Would you hold your hands up? I was the same way. It was 2.5 hours on the train every single day. And it was, and with 4 children, the last thing my children needed from me was to be on a train. So it's been a joy for us as we have prepared our hearts down there. And just before I left, something happened to me at Brooklyn Tab. I was trying to find, because we down there, their winter, their harsh winter is a harsh summer. So the 3 months you get nailed with cold weather, down south they get hit with Hades, Sheol, heat. So and if you don't want to go to hell, you go to down there and you go, I'm going to heaven because I don't want to be in that summer. If this is what it's partly like. So it just before we left, I did something that I thought was a really cool thing. I was going, okay, we just got hit here in New York a couple years ago with those back-to-back snowstorms, and it was just terrible. So walking through the subways. So I went on eBay and I said, I'm gonna get a really nice pair of boots that can be boots and wear with a suit. And I found these. I mean, the price was amazing. It was so low. These pair of men's Coach leather boots that would go with the suit. And I'm just going like, this is perfect. This will be awesome. I can wear them in the snow, subway, and get up at the church. So, and it was eBay. So just keep that in mind. And they were cheap. So keep that in mind also. So eBay, cheap, and Coach with a capital A. So C-O-A-C, and so you know, right there, you know something's wrong. So I'm speaking at Brooklyn Tab, I'm doing all 3 services, so you have thousands of people, and while I'm speaking, this noise started bothering me, and I'm thinking, where is the security when you need it? So as I'm walking, I'm hearing, somebody is like, have horses, like, clomp, and as I'm going like, and God, and all of a sudden I hear, I'm going like, who is, and I'm trying to preach Jesus, hearing horses in the audience. And as I'm preaching, I realize it's me. And my soles were coming off the boots. And as I was on both of them, and like I was wearing like little black booties, and as this, and I mean, literally, as I'm going, and Jesus loves you. And I'm going, and then I'm going, this is me. And I stood there for all 3 services like a Presbyterian preacher and just kind of like, and God loves you and he's awesome. And I was just going, I'm thinking, this is crazy. And so I had the security tape it up with black duct tape. And so I preached the other 2 services with taped up, knock off Coach shoes. This is the reason why they were so cheap, and why it was on eBay. And obviously, just because it has the right name doesn't mean it's the right designer. Just because something says something doesn't mean it's the real thing. Obviously, you can walk out these doors, turn to the left, and just because you see an LV on a purse out there for $20 doesn't mean you're buying a Louis Vuitton purse on the corner up there. Or because it looks has a little bit of plaid, doesn't mean it's Burberry. It could, but out there it could be Burberry. And so we have no idea what you're buying. But just because the label says it doesn't mean you got it. And so what we want to make sure tonight is we're going to check the label tonight on one word. I'm going to ask you to check it, and I'm going to see how many I can get through tonight. We're going to check the label on one word, and it's the word Christian. I want you to write down the word Christian, because this is something I think is so important for us, because when you follow Christianity throughout the years, what's scary is this, is that Christianity started as a relationship in Israel. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It went to Italy, became an institution. It went to England and became a culture. And Christianity went to America and became a business. and we have got to make sure that what you got is the real thing. The last thing I need for you to do is to show up here at the gate clomping like a horse, thinking you've got Christianity, but we want to make sure that we understand what it is. So tonight, we're going to check the label. We're going to go through a checklist tonight, and we're going to see really what Christianity is all about. And if we, in a sense, as Paul even tells us, to make sure that we pass the test. It goes all the way back to one of the American evangelists named Billy Sunday, who probably said it best. He says, just because you go into a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you walk tonight into McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. And let's be honest, just because you come into church doesn't make you a Christian. These are not magic seats. We didn't import this carpet from Jerusalem. And there's nothing here. There's nothing physically here that can make you a Christian. If you walked in here not a Christian, there's nothing about any of this furniture that can turn you into it. You can jump into the baptismal booth on a Sunday night or a Tuesday night, and I want to promise you, that water is just good old New York water that comes from, there's not, if you are a sinner and go into the water, listen, then you come up a wet sinner out of the water. The water doesn't make anybody a Christian. So we want to make sure that we get an understanding of where God is. So keep this in mind. A man becomes a Christian and can't make himself a Christian. It is God. A Christian is the operation only of God. He's the only one that can make you a Christian. You can't do it yourself. It's him that does the work on us and in us. So tonight, I need you to be honest with yourself. I want you to take inventory. One of my friends told me this. He says, there are three of you that we all need to understand. It's the person you think you are, the person others think you are, and the person that God knows you are. Let me give this to you one more time. Write them or type them. Here it is. It's the person you think you are, or the person others think you are, but really it's the person that God knows you are. So that's why tonight I want to begin to do some introspection, checking the label tonight. So here's what we do sometimes. One of the things that happens in preaching is that there's two big preaching words. One's called hermeneutics, one's called homiletics. Homiletics is the art of preaching. Hermeneutics is the study part, the breaking down of the passages itself. One of the tricks that sometimes they ask you to do in homiletics, and I don't do this, but I will tonight. It's only for memory, and they call it alliteration, which means every word will start with the same letter. And I'm going to do that tonight. I never do that. Me and he is my dearest friend, and I laugh at him, and we kid about this. Pastor Claude Oud, everything. When you talk to him, everything starts with H, everything starts with S, everything's, I'm going, there's more letters in the alphabet than what you're, so, but I'm going to pull a Pastor Claude on you tonight. Everything's going to start with S, only for memory. I'm only doing this to help us check the label so we can go back. So let's get it all ready and let's jot these down of what a Christian is. They're going to sound simple in the beginning, but we're going to kind of work our way through this. That's why it's going to seem to get harder as we go. And I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said this: if Christianity were something we made up, we would have made it a lot easier than it is. But that's why he said it's not made up. So I want to give this to you in ascending order. So here it is. The ingredients should be on our label. Let's see how many we can get through tonight. And if we don't get through all of them, you're not going to be in trouble because the first one will take care of the start out the gate. So if you leave out here and you go, we only did five, I'm going to go to hell. No, you're going to make it through. I just want you to know. So number one, write this down. What is a Christian? The first thing on the label, a genuine Christian is, the first S, saved. Write that down. Saved. Big letters, saved. Right next to it, write the verse, Acts 2:47. Listen to this at the beginning of the first church. It says this: and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That the church was built on saved people. That's the people that built the family of God. Didn't say baptized people, christened people. Now these are These are items that may get people started on your spiritual journey, but it doesn't save you from the inside out. I'm not belittling if you go, well, I took my first communion, I was water baptized. That may get you started, but we have to really deal with that word salvation. Because it doesn't even say, as those, listen to me close, it doesn't even say those that were sincere, because you can be sincere and sincerely wrong. So it doesn't even use that word. Say, well, I'm sincere. It says those that were saved are the ones that basically were added to the church and made up the church. God added to the church those that were born again. So we better figure that word out here. So let me kind of give you a couple sub-points underneath that. One of the things that I try to let everybody know every single Sunday is simply this, that you are born once and you're born again once. It's a definite act of God that God does. And I'll always say this to people. I said, it's as simple, write these letters down. It's as simple as ABC. Let me add something to each one of those. The A, it is admitting I'm a sinner. It's literally saying, what does that mean, Pastor Tim? It means something is broken inside of me. Something is not right. No matter, there's not money that can fix it. There's not a job. Even attaining my dream or my dream job or being called to Broadway. I finally got this acting job, or I finally made it and my name is on the law firm, or I'm now a partner, or whatever that may be. Or I finally got accepted to grad school at this university. All those things can be great. It's kind of like you can think that they fulfill you. It's kind of like getting a new car. It is really cool. I got a new car once in my life, and it was so cool until the payment came due. And then at that point, I'm going like this. It smells good. It drives good. And then after the first payment, I'm going, I hate this. This is terrible. And then you got to pay it every month. And what happens is that we have to start and realize something's not right in us. And it's called sin. It's a broken part of us. It's something that we're born with. That's why when you see children, I have four children, none of them I had to teach to be selfish. I didn't teach any of them to be selfish. I didn't teach any of them to lie. They learned it all on their own. Did you take those that food? Did you steal those cookies? Did you take those things? No, I didn't teach them to lie. I'm going, now this is how you lie, Lauren. When I ask you things and you think you're going to be caught, I need you to lie. Where did that come from? Where did this self-preservation inside of us come from, that when we get scared, it is a broken part of us called sin? This is what we were born with. That's why you don't have to teach children to say no. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. It's part of when we're born, and that's where we have to come and say, I admit something's broken in me, and sin is in me. Sin is what has done this. B, write this down. For B, it's not only admitting I'm broken and I'm a sinner, but it's B, believing Jesus is the only one that can fix me. Now, this is important. Believing Jesus is the only one that can fix me basically means this. It means I've got to believe that Jesus, that I can't fix me. Let me put it this way. I can't fix me with promises, with programs, with a pastor, a priest. There's nothing I can fix me with from the inside out. I can try all those things. If we can, now this is the part I want you to get. If we can fix ourselves, then God sending Jesus to die for us is the worst act of child abuse in human history. Why would God send Jesus? If you saw The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson and you saw this portrayed of the beating of Jesus, so God sent his son to die on the cross so you can fix yourself? Something's not right about that. So what happens is that God sent his son, and he is the only one that we have to believe that can fix us from the inside out. And if we're in charge, then we can try to fix the outside. We can do a whole bunch of stuff by fixing this, but still the inside is broken. You can dress it up. You can take the surgeries. You can work out. You can do all those things. But you have to start with the inside. Something's broken. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that only Jesus can do it. And see, jot this down, and I confess Jesus to be Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's an important word. When the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord, it was a first century word. It was almost considered treason, and it really was considered treason, because it's this Greek word kurios, which basically means it was a word that was only used of Caesar. So when you were saying Jesus was Lord, you're saying you're the one in charge. You're the boss. You're the one that I need. Okay, look at me for a second. This is important. I don't even know whether to call, we call you, is this young adults, students? So you used to young adult, okay. Look here for a second. People, look at me for just a moment, because this is important. Jesus did not die. God did not send Jesus, and Jesus did not die to get us to sit in a chair for 2 hours on Sunday. It wasn't Jesus going down, dying, rise again, and finally you're sitting here on Sunday from 10 to noon, and in heaven they're going, oh, finally, we have them sitting on Sunday. We've been working on this, because do we need them in church for two? That's not why he saved us. He saved us so he could be the boss. He didn't save you for Sunday. He saved you for every day.
Yeah.
That's what salvation is. It's a relationship. When I say you're the boss, it's not you're the boss on Sunday for 2 hours. It means you call the shots now. So when we begin to ask Christ, when we're checking the label and go, am I saved? So I have to start under that and go, do I admit I'm broken on the inside and it's called sin? B, do I believe that only Jesus can fix me from the inside out, and he didn't save me? I'm not just somebody, I like how one minister puts it. He says, we're not mistakers that need correction. We're sinners that need a savior. So to say that I just made a lot of mistakes, then you just need correction. But that's not the issue. Or as Ravi Zacharias says it, he didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. That's what Jesus came to do. So that's what the sin does. The sin kills that, our relationship with God. So I believe that only God can fix, that only Jesus can fix that. And then I confess him as Lord, or literally the boss of my life, the only one that could begin to come and do that and absolutely change me. So when I look at that label, and you look at that label, and I ask myself, that first, am I saved? Have I done that? Have I started there? It's not something you're doing every single week. But once you do it, then the second thing you have to check on the label, write this one down. A genuine Christian is not only saved, but a genuine Christian is sure. Now, this is important, because I come from a history of church life that made sure you weren't sure. Okay, I'm just telling you, just made sure. Because I grew up at a time here in New York where in the 70s, when I was in youth group and growing up in church, the big moment at that time, everything was the rapture. Everything. There was Late Great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey, Salem Carbon's book, 666. I mean, everything. Everything. So every time you went somewhere, we were brought up like if you go to the movies and the movie's playing and Jesus comes, you don't go. And like it was, and I kept just thinking, like, are these theaters have like rapture proof ceilings? Like you just kind of like going like, I can't get through. And this is like, I've heard it all. I remember coming home one day, and I'm probably the only one who ever thought that the rapture took place. No one here has ever thought that. I remember walking home into my house and going, Mom, and nobody is there. None of the saved people were home. And nobody was answering their phone. And I'm looking around and I'm going like, I've been left behind. I says, goodbye. Anybody ever feel that way before? Okay, me and Vicky. So we both are just kind of going like, oh my goodness. And then my brother walks up going, no, I know you're going to hell. I need to see a Christian person at this time because I know where you're going. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. But this is what I was brought up, is I was brought up at this moment that you were never sure. And it's so It's so opposite of even what the Bible even teaches. We confuse the Christian life with conversion sometimes, because we don't keep getting saved, but we do keep getting closer to becoming like Jesus. And that becomes the problem. We think if we blow it, we have got to begin to get saved all over again, is what we think so many times. The conversion takes place once and instantaneously. We are never becoming a Christian. We are never, I hope I'm a Christian. When Christ saves you, listen to me, we are totally saved, but always still imperfect. When God changes us, he comes in and the process starts. It's like the day we become a Christian, God puts down cones, orange cones, and says that there is, that literally, I'm at work in this person's life. And that's what we are until Jesus comes home, until Jesus brings us home. The Christian life is a becoming life happening over time. To be a Christian is to become like Christ, but not to become in a relationship with Christ, because that is the growth part that takes place. And this is what it's so important for us to understand. The best book to read on this is the book of 1 John. Write down 1 John. Let me give you one verse under this one. 5:13. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." That is one of the key words of the epistle of John. Now, that epistle is different than the gospel of John. So if you're new here tonight and you're going, what's an epistle? What's an apostle? An epistle is not the wife of an apostle. So you have to understand the word just simply means letter. That's what the word means. The word epistle means letter. So Paul wrote letters, and 1 John is different than the gospel of John. And what happens, now, some of you may be here tonight going like, oh, this is just so basic. But you know what's crazy? Is we don't even know the basics anymore. We're so deep that we don't even know we're just sitting here going, you're still worried about if you're saved. And I'm telling you tonight, you can know for sure when you leave this place. You know one of the coolest things happened to me on my last trip coming up? It didn't happen on this one because I brought my bag on board the plane. But I was flying to go do something with Pastor Gary Wilkerson in Peru, a pastor's conference. And I'm always carrying on with me just in case, because whenever you're going overseas and there's transferring flights and baggage, you're thinking, is my bag going to get there? Am I going to have a suit there? So I'm always putting extra clothes to make sure it gets there. All of a sudden, never knew it existed. My phone buzzes on the plane. Door wasn't shut, so I was legal. My phone buzzes on the plane. And this is what it said. Ticket number 35692, your bag has just been loaded on the plane. I said, what? Because the whole 7-hour flight, I'm going like, is it going to come? Is it going to come? Is it going to be there? Can I expect it? And literally, when I checked it in, they told me, they scanned it. It went right to my phone and said, you can be sure we just scanned it at the side of the plane. We loaded it on so you could know on this journey when this plane lands, your bag is going to be there. I am telling you that when you give your heart to Jesus, something, you get a little buzz in your heart that goes, this day you get to know that you've been born again. That when Jesus comes back, you're not going to the rapture, to the rapture. You can know I'm going to be there. I've got a confirmation number because I am born again by Jesus Christ today. I am sure. And you got to check the label. If you're not sure, then we've got to deal with that tonight. So when I check the label, I realize, one, what's a genuine Christian? How do we know that this is a real Armani? This is a real Louis Vuitton? This is a real Christian Louboutin shoe and someone didn't paint it red underneath? How do we know this to be true? How do we know? How do we know it's genuine? When I check the label, it says saved. When I check the label, it says sure. Number three, write this down. When I check the label, a genuine Christian is not only saved and sure. Third thing, they are sound. Sound. Here's your verse. Your verse is Titus 1:13. So that they may be sound in the faith. There is only one other place in the United States that even can come close, remotely close, to the food that you guys have here in New York. And it's Louisiana, I'm just telling you. It's unbelievable. I've never eaten this New Orleans, Cajun, French type. It's unbelievable. So when I go for my first physical last year, which I get every year because I have four kids and I got to stay alive to walk three girls down for a wedding, it didn't go too good. So I'm getting there. The doctor comes in. He goes, "Hey, I looked at your blood work, so let me just talk to you for a second." So he goes, "Sit down." So I'm going, "Okay, this is not good." So sit down. So he's talking to me. And he goes, "Okay, first, now, I don't know what any of these mean until he just told me. So I'm not talking like I'm some like health food guru." So he just goes, "Okay, your triglycerides are 900. He says, "What that means," some of you, like two people go like, "Oh," the rest of you go like, "So?" Okay, that's what I did. I was going like, "Who cares?" Like 900, like, woo, getting close to 1,000, okay, which is not good, okay? So he goes, "They're 900. So I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Okay, so that means one of three things. One, either you're a diabetic." He says, "Diabetes, right?" I said, "No." He goes, "Okay." "Two, you have pancreatic cancer." I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Three, you've been eating a lot of dessert." I said, "See?" I said, "That's it." He goes, "Well, you've been eating a lot of this Louisiana food." He says, "Okay." He says, "Because your triglycerides are this way," he says, "we can't even measure your cholesterol." He says, "It's off the charts." He says, "It's so bad, I've got to give you medication to bring it down to normal." So he says, "It's out of control." And he says, "Thirdly," he says, "your blood pressure is approaching stroke. I'm going like, I'm a good guy. I said, "I don't even understand like why this is happening." I said, "Like I'm happy. I tell stories," and I go like, "Why would this?" It's going, "So I have to give you medicine for your heart, your blood pressure. I have to give you medicine for the cholesterol," and he goes, "You are grossly," he says, "you're obese." I said, "Hold on." I said, "Okay, let's," because now I'm offended. I wasn't offended at 900 triglycerides. I said, "Okay, now I'm offended." So we're talking through this. So he goes, "Here's the medication, here's the stuff." So I had to go home and make a decision. So I took the medication, I put them on my nightstand, and I just go, "I've got to change something. Because I'm not going to live off medication. I'm not going to just eat medication and then just keep eating bread pudding. I've got to decide something," because the word "sound," jot this down, the word "sound" literally means healthy. And I literally changed five things that he said he wanted to see me in 6 weeks. So I put the medication there just as a motivation. I said, "I'm not going to take one pill." Did just five things. And I wanted to do something that I could sustain. I wasn't going to do like Nutrisystem and look like Marie Osmond. I wanted to go ahead and just kind of figure out, okay, what can I do that just becomes part of my life, that just says I've got to do these things. And so after 6 weeks, I was able to go, and he goes, "All of your numbers are normal," and then losing weight and all that stuff, and able just to do things. But what I had to do was, I couldn't eat cruddy food and pray God to remove the fat grams. I couldn't go to like Krispy Kreme going like, you know, "Satan, I bind you, you know, leave these glazed donuts," especially the ones that were, because the sign was flashing red, "leave the warm," but keep the warmth in there, but demons out. And so you can't do that. You just can't. You can't sit here and like go home tonight and like bring all this food in, watch La La Land and just think, "Okay, I feel good and everything," and then just think everything's going to work out. It doesn't work that way. There is a diet that has to come for those that are saved and sure. That when you look at things and go, "You know what? This is not going to be healthy for me as a believer. This is not going to be the..." And so what you have to do at times is you have to look at your life, and I have to look at my life and go, "Okay, I've got to make sure, does this habit, does this thing bring health to my Christian life. Let me give you an example. Eating the Bible, eating the word once a week on a Sunday is not a healthy thing. You can't just come to church on a Sunday for 2 hours and go, I heard the word, I'm good. That's not healthy. Because it has to be something that you're doing each day. These are habits, these are disciplines that when you check the label, it's not just punching a time clock in. It's going, God, give me healthy habits from what I watch, what I listen to, who I talk to, what I say. And it begins to become something that it's not, you begin to realize, I'm saved, I'm sure, but am I sound? Are there things there that God, that my triglycerides are going over here, my cholesterol is going over here, that I've got to realize that what I'm doing the other 6 days, it kind of goes like this. I had to go to the dentist the other day. Let me just tell you this. If that, it was yesterday, I went to the dentist. I brushed my teeth so hard before, anybody ever do that before you go to the, so hard. Can I just say, it doesn't matter. If you haven't been doing flossing for the other 4 months, one good brush, like just, and I literally brushed my teeth 3 times. Like that fixed it. And God, and like the dentist is going like, now I brush my teeth every day. So you go like, you haven't brushed it for 3 months? I brushed it every day, okay? But if you're not doing something daily, doing it really hard before the exam doesn't help. So if you're wanting to build something inside of you, a soundness, you have to begin to create daily discipline. So coming, just go, some of you are going like, well, I do the gate because I'm a young adult. I do the gate twice a month in church. There has to be things that go on during the week because of the world and the city we live in. We need all the help we can get. So that's why these disciplines are important. So that means if I check the label and think to myself, what is a genuine Christian? One, what is it? They are. Number two, they are. Number three, they are. Okay. Number four, let me just check the time here. We still good? Everybody all right? Okay. A genuine Christian, number four, is not only saved, not only sure, not only sound, but they are surrendered. They are surrendered. Now, Pastor Tim, what do you mean by this? Let me give you your verse, and it's Romans 6:13, which it's some versions will say yield yourselves to God, some will say surrender yourselves to God. This is what happens after somebody becomes a Christian. That here's the best way I can explain on surrender. The entrance into Christianity is absolutely nothing. The annual subscription fee is everything after you're saved. Let me say that again. It costs you nothing to become a Christian. He's done it all for you. It costs you everything after you become a Christian because he's the boss now. Does that make sense? It's not because, and don't mix this up. Listen now, young adults, don't mix this up. You don't get good and come to Jesus. That's not Christianity. You come to Jesus and he makes you good. Yes. That's what happens. So to come and become a Christian doesn't cost you anything. Jesus died for you. Jesus did the work for you. But once you receive this amazing grace, the annual subscription fee to Christianity is everything. Everything belongs to him. My voice, my hands, my life, my dreams, my destiny, everything belongs to him. That's what this word surrendered really means. And the reason why this is important is because when God asks you at times to do the hard thing or the uncomfortable thing, if our heart's surrendered, if we're saved, we're sure, we're sound, then we can be surrendered. Because there are going to be moments God's going to ask you to do the hard thing. Well, like, what do you mean, Pastor Tim? Like, is it like weird hard thing? No. It could be as simple as this. What was the name of our brother that worshiped tonight?
Colin.
What is it?
Colin.
Okay. Colin leads worship tonight. And he's asking us, he goes, okay, we're gonna sing this. Everybody lift your hands. And some of you are going, oh, I'm not into that because of my ethnic background, we just like to sit here. Okay, it's a biblical thing to do this. It's a biblical thing to do when Colin says, let's sing, or Vicky is up there leading worship and says, let's sing to the Lord. Those are scriptural things. So can I just let you know that your ethnicity or your religious background doesn't mean anything if he's the boss? Because if we go back to point one, which means A, B, C. A means what? I'm a sinner. I have to believe that Jesus Christ. And C, I confess him as Lord, and Lord means boss, which means that the thing that controls me is not, well, I'm from an Indian background. I'm German. It doesn't matter. I'm Italian. I can't go, look, we need to eat more in service. It doesn't matter. That can't control me. My Italian background is not the boss. Your whiteness, your Hispanicness, if that's a word, your Caucasianness, your blackness, that doesn't control you. You cannot be a black Christian. Let me say that again. That's good, Pastor Tim. And listen, and let me just tell you something. He goes, you can't be a white Christian. Because once you put something before Christian, then that means that goes first. It doesn't go first. You are a follower of Jesus is what you are. And that can't control you. I'm just telling you what Christianity is. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not making political statements. I'm going, what do you mean by that? What I mean is you follow Jesus. You cannot put something before Christ. I'm a girly Christian. No. Don't say stuff like that. I'm a Christian, which means he's the boss. Which means if the Bible says, if God says, if he's the boss, to do the uncomfortable, why? Because I'm surrendered. The label says surrendered. So Colin goes, lift your hands. You're not going like, oh, all right, this is going to be hard. Are the lights off? Oh, yeah, lights are off. This is young adults, so turn the lights off. Okay. Hey, I'm okay with that. If that's what you have to start with, I'm okay. And if it's kind of like, come on, wave your hands. Lift them higher. I don't care how you do it, and but I'm going to tell you, there are uncomfortable things and hard things. Sometimes people don't have a problem with this. They have a problem with the tithing issue. It's a difficult thing to go, what, 10% of my money belongs to God? Let me help you. All of your money belongs to God. Let me just help you. And I'm telling you, this is not a tithing message, but I'm just telling you, if you think you can do more with 100%, than God can with 90%, then God goes, let's see what you can do. And I'm telling you, I've tried it in my life. I've tried to do it with 100%, saying, I made this money, that's my check, and I'll tip God every single Sunday. What do I got? Okay, here's your tip. And it's amazing. We'll calculate more for the waitress at Ruth's Chris than we will for God every single Sunday. And I have people ask me, well, am I supposed to give the gross or the net? And I said, is that in the Bible? I said, it is. What are you talking about? It's in the Bible. I said, read Malachi. Malachi says, you give more to your governor than you give to me? Pastor Tim, I knew I shouldn't have come tonight, okay? Listen. Let me ask you a question. When the governor or the president wants his tax, is he taking it off the net or the gross? Boom. Okay, I just wanted, if I had a mic, I'd drop it. So here's the deal. The issue is this. It's a surrendered life that goes, God, I know. I'm not saying it's not hard. But when you're surrendered, I'm the way I live my Christian life is I am the son of the parable that says no, but I do it. I'm ticked, but I'll do it. Go to Detroit. Brother Dave goes, Wilkerson goes, I want you to go to Detroit, the founder of this church. Oh. Detroit. I had a choice between Detroit or Jamaica. And I'm just sitting there. And anybody knew that it should have been Jamaica. But I go to Detroit and I'm sitting there. And thank God, I wouldn't have a good attitude, but I still went. Because if you're surrendered, sometimes it is difficult. But if he's the boss, then he trumps my emotions, my religious background. He trumps my ethnicity. He trumps every part because he's the boss. I'm angry, but I'm going to do it. And it's funny, God will still take my angry tithe money. So when I check my label, okay, we got to, oh, man. Okay, let's finish this. So when I check the label, the first one is a genuine Christian is, okay, then after I know I'm saved, A, B, C, A, I admit, B, I, and then C, I confess him to be what? And which means he's the, okay, after that, then I know once I become a Christian, I can be what? Sure, which means I get my Delta number that says you get to go to heaven, and I'll read 1 John to get that. Then once I know I'm saved, I'm sure, then I got to make sure I'm sound means what? Exactly. That means my diet every single day. That means I can't brush hard on Sunday mornings because to look good when I come to church. So sound means healthy. Then 4, I have to also be, which means that he, since he's the boss, trumps everything. That's what it means. Romans 6:13. Okay, final one, then we got to finish, and then you're just going to have to figure out the rest. No, I'll tell you, but I won't discuss them. Okay, here we go. Final one. Number 5, this is 5. Genuine Christian is not only surrendered, but he's also separated. Now, this is an interesting word. Separated. This is separated. The people, what I mean by separated, I'm not using this in cultish fashion. I'm using this in example fashion that you are about the Israel Houghton song that you sang tonight. We are salt and light. That we are different. Separated means different in our responses. It's the Matthew 5 salt and light lifestyle is really what I'm getting to here. Christianity, this is so important because what Jesus is asking for, write these verses down, Matthew 5, 15 and 16. If you're a city that's set on a hill, and if I put you on a light stand, I need you to shine. It literally what he's dealing with is example and lifestyle. My wife sent this to me the other day. She goes, this is probably the best Facebook post of the year so far. Listen to these words. Remember, the best way to create change in your community is to yell at all the strangers online on your Facebook posts. It's awesome. That's what people think. Let me just yell at everybody. That'll change society. Oh, stop it. It doesn't change anything. You know what changes people's lives? Is you being salt and light. So Cindy comes back from Target the other day and gets this stuff on clearance, these pajamas for the girls, and comes back and finds out that as they're scanning it, they never scanned the pajamas. And here's what's crazy. These trust me, these were not like, you know, designer pajamas. These were like, I think the sale price was like $12 for each. So now the question is, I've got $24 that they didn't scan. My wife, MBA, University of Michigan, she is in charge of the finances. I am a smart man. When I married her, she is beautiful and smart, and I just go, can I have my allowance? That's all I have to do. She is brilliant. So she looks at everything, and I'm afraid of her. So she looks at everything and just going, she goes, they didn't even charge me. They didn't even charge. So here's the question. If we're separated, different example, what do we do at that point? It's going like, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Look at that. Stick it to the man. So here's what you have to think. What do you do at that point? What is, if you check the label, so here's my wife. I have to go back and let them know they didn't charge me and that I owe them $25. $25. Got in her car, made the whole journey back, showed up. The lady looked at her like she was an alien. Goes, all right. And she's scanning this thing. And Cindy goes, thank you. God bless you. I mean, let me just tell you, what she just did was Christianity. This, can I just tell you, all this that we have in here is cool. But it's easy to do it in here. The hard part is doing it out there. It's when you read the verses in the Bible that talks about respecting bosses. See, here's that aren't even Christian, because you're doing it not for them, you're doing it as unto the Lord. It's the part of the Bible that says this. Ephesians 5 says this about being spirit-filled. Great spirit-filled verse, Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a great verse. And everybody's going like, I love that. Let's sing spirit-filled, fill me, Holy Spirit. Okay, here's what's amazing about it. You know what comes after that? Ready for this? After it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then I close with this. This is what it says. It says, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but you correct them, but you do it teaching them, and you do it gently. Workers, don't rip off your bosses, but you work, even if they're unsaved, you need to work with an attitude, because you're not working for them. That's what it says. Spirit-filled life, what Paul was saying there. He says, I don't need you to talk in tongues. I need you how to learn how to talk in English. I'm not saying I don't believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is, he doesn't fill you with the Spirit just so you can use it for 2 hours on Sunday. That doesn't mean anything. He fills you with the Spirit so you can use it on Wall Street. He fills you with the Spirit so you can use it at the financial institution that you work for, or you can use it as Columbia. He fills you with the Spirit so you can be separated and going like, what is different about your attitude? The worst thing is to show up and you act like everybody else, and you're saying, when I checked the label, I thought I'm saved, sure, and sound, and surrendered, but I can't even be separated with my attitudes. I still have to walk in with an attitude. And here's what the apostle is saying here. He's saying, when God saves you and starts to fill you, it doesn't just make you a good churchgoer, it makes you better in every part of your life. That's what Christianity does. Check the label. Does it do it for you? Check your label tonight. I'm out of time. Band, come up. Let's go. Okay, you can write the others down. Genuine Christian, well, I was getting to it, is spirit-filled. A genuine Christian is a singing Christian. And I'll talk about a song in the heart and a genuine Christian, I put down, is a Christian that stands when everybody else is bowing, but you can figure those out yourself. Okay, play something on the piano about Christians. Okay, so let's finish tonight and then turn it over. So let's start for just a moment with number one. Let's just start with number one. I don't assume anybody's a Christian anymore because they're sitting in a church. I don't. Because there's so much. Now, the last number I got is that there is now 9,000 different denominations. 9,000. Do you think that's why Jesus came? You think Jesus came because he goes, I really want this to like get really just 9,000 different groups? He didn't come for that. He wants you to be a follower. He wants you to be a real Christian. He wants you to be saved. So how does that happen, Pastor Tim? A, B, C. A, I admit I'm broken. It's a sin issue. B, I've got to believe that Jesus is the only one that can fix it, and he fixes me from the inside out. You can sit here as long as you want, but until as definite as your birth was, now let me help you. If you're here tonight, that means you were born. So you're like, wow, this guy is deep. Okay? If you're here, you were born. And as definite as you were born, not TSC, not Pastor Tim, Jesus says in John 3:3 and John 3:5, you can never see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Here's Jesus' words, John 3:5. He says this. You must be born again. Look at me for a second. Jesus said that. He said, the Jesus who can't lie
said, you must. So why would we take a must and make it optional? Why would you take something that Jesus said, I would love to have heard Jesus' voice inflection. You must. However he would have said it. And we're just like, we're going like, I go to church. But he didn't say that. You must be born again. I grew up Catholic. I grew up, went to the synagogue. He didn't say it. He said, you must be born. He didn't say you have to be a member of TSC. You have to be a Baptist. You have to be a Jew. He didn't say any of that. In fact, he said it to the Jewish leader. You must be born again. His name was Nicodemus. It was Nicodemus wanted to ask him about this. He goes, something's going on here. You've got something and I want it. This is the leader of a synagogue. And he talks to him. It's fantastic. He comes at night, so no one knows if he's coming at night. I mean, this is the beginning of Nick at night. And so what happens is he comes, shows up, and now he's talking with the real, and he looks at him and goes, you must be born again. You must. Oh, how do I do it, Tim? A, I admit I'm broken on the inside. I'm a sinner. There's something not right in my heart. Augustine, the great 4th century leader, just simply says, we have a hole, a vacuum there. There's a vacuum that can only be filled by God. You can try to stick anything in there. I can put my master's degree. I can put my dream. I can put marriage. I just want to be a mom, which is a great dream. You could put all those there and none of it will seem to fill the hole. Only one person fills it. His name is Jesus. Because it's busted. This part is busted. So I have to believe Jesus is the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that can fill that hole inside of me. That's why you're here tonight. So it's believing he can do it, not a promise you can make. I don't have to get good. I don't have to stop this in order to come. Come to Jesus and he makes you good. And then see, confess him as the boss. And just say, you're in charge now. You're in charge of my life. Me in charge, I didn't do too well. You in charge, you fix it all. I want you to be sure tonight. I want your label to read. Bow your heads with me, please. So all I want to do tonight is just start with number one. I want to get the label going for some of you tonight. I don't care if it's one. I don't care if it's everyone. But if you're here tonight and say, Pastor Tim, I need to be born again. Those are Jesus's words. You must be born again. Those are Jesus's words. Pastor Tim, I've come to church. I've even lifted hands. None of those things are on the label. None of those things are on the label. But tonight, I'm going to lead you in that relationship born again prayer. I'm going to lead you in that. It's not a magic prayer. It's just to get start your journey. Jesus says, this is where the journey starts. All those other things are commendable. I go to church. I go to synagogue. I go to mass. Commendable. I've been baptized. I've been christened. I've had communion. I've been confirmed. Commendable. But that's not where it starts. Jesus said, Jesus who cannot lie, Jesus who said, you must, said it this way. You must be born again. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor Tim, I want to start my spiritual journey tonight. I want to get the first S on. I want to get the word saved on. And then let the others come, sure, sound, surrendered, separated, song in my heart, spirit-filled, gives you legs to stand. And if you're here tonight and just go, Pastor Tim, I'm not going to embarrass you tonight. We're not going to do all these calisthenics. We're just simply going to close with this. If you're here tonight, say, Pastor Tim, I want to pray that prayer with everybody tonight and start my spiritual journey. I want to be born again. If that's you tonight, with no hesitation, what I want you to do, this is for you tonight. No hesitation. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand, say, include me in that final prayer. Anybody here, hold it up high. I just want to make sure. God, keep them up high. I want to make sure I see every hand that's up. Keep them up high as you can. I'm going to start from my right, and I want them to make sure I see every hand. There's one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Keep them up. 9, 10, 11. Gotcha. 12, Fantastic. You could put your hands down tonight. That's fantastic. I want all of us to stand together. Come on, I want you to join me right now. I want us to all say it together. Would you say this with me? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt and died for it. I believe you rose from the dead to give me a purpose on earth, a relationship with your Father, and a new home called heaven. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. And on this day, I declare you're the boss. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together and thank God? Now listen, I'm gonna have you guys sing us out. Colin, I'm gonna have you sing us out. Can we sing the I Stand song? Let's go back to that one, I Stand. Now listen, let me just tell you this. For those 12 that raised your hand, you just started your journey tonight. Now, I'm not sure, I definitely want you to be here on Sunday, but when Vicki closes, she'll give you a couple of things that you can do to start your journey here. It could be the 1 o'clock session, it could on Sunday, but she'll let you know. I don't want to go ahead. I want Vicki to tell you, but I want you now to understand, not only are you saved, but you could be sure tonight, regardless of how jacked up you think you are, Jesus takes us just like we are. He loves us so much, he won't leave us in that condition tonight. And what's so exciting about Jesus is tonight you can be sure that God, I've asked him to come in and change me. And so when we check that label, I want you to be born again. I want you to be saved. I want you to be sure. I want you to be sound. I want you to be surrendered. I want you to be separate. I want God to do an amazing work in your life. I love you guys. I want to pray a blessing over you. Then Colin's going to lead us. Father, bless every one of these young adults. God, this is such a difficult time to live in. But God, you fill us with your Spirit. So the things that want to come and crush us, because we are filled, it can't deform us. So fill everyone here with the Holy Spirit. Put legs, their heart is so firm and sure that their legs can stand for what's right. And as Colin leads us, it may even be difficult because the beginning of the songs with arms high and hearts and souls surrendered, it may be hard for us to lift our hands. But can you do this? How about we try tonight? If you can, just right now, I know it's, it can be a hard thing. Try lifting your hands, and Colin's going to lead us. Come on, lead us in this, Colin.
Hallelujah, Jesus.